ओमज्ञानसिमरन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मृतं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टम् स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कृता मायं सदातीतम् आददानस्तु नन्दन्ते इदं याचे पुनः पुनः श्रीमाद्रूपापदं भोजा शिलीशं जन्म जन्मनि पराधियुद्भक्तिरसं प्रयत्नाय अभयमामनभिक्षुमन्दं कृपं भूया फलद्रूपद्रूपि सनातनसम्पदमाश्रयामि. पञ्चकौपाथरुभ्यश्च पातन्तु भयेभ्यः पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द याद्वैता गदाधार श्रीवासुदेवो भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो हरे रामो राम राम हरे हरे. Reading from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, chapter 1, text 4.
जयति मथुरा देवी श्रेष्ठा पुरीषु मनोरमा परमदयिता कंसारार्ते सन्निस्थितिरञ्जिता दुरितवरणां मुक्तेर्भक्तेरपि प्रतिपादनात् जगति मथिता सत्तत्रेडा तथास्तु विदुरतः.
All glories to goddess Mathura Devi, the best of holy cities. She enchants the mind. She is most dear to the enemy of Kamsa, and she is adorned with the Lord's birthplace. The city of Mathura is acclaimed throughout the world for dispelling misery and bestowing liberation and devotion, not to mention the various pastimes the Lord has played there. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Okay, just because we're only having this class once a week, we'll just read the verses from the beginning. Put that other melody with it.
जयति निजपदाब्ज प्रेमदानावतीर्णामधुलिमाभिशोरगन्धी गतपरमरसन्तां यस्य चैतन्यरूपा अनुरपदमात्तां प्रेमगोपीषु नित्यम्.
All glories to that inconceivable Lord who descended to bestow the gift of perfect love for his own lotus feet. He is an ocean filled with many kinds of sweetness, and he always bears the fragrance of fresh youth. In his form as Sri Chaitanya, he has realized the last extreme of transcendental experience, the love residing eternally in the gopis. All glories above all to the gopis, headed by Sri Radhika, who are famous as the Lord's dearmost devotees. No one can even begin to properly describe the charm of their supreme affection, Sri Hari.
Krishna Chaitanya Nama Hari Nilesha Sri Hari Sanvesha.
Realizing that the ecstasy of his beloved devotees is even sweeter than his own, out of greed, the Lord descended in this world in the form of his own devotee. Dressed as a renunciate, golden and effulgent, he bears the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya. All glories to that Lord Hari, who has appeared as the son of Mother Sachi. Shut up the fan, because it just goes on and off because of this. And somehow today I chanted the prayers in a different order. Usually I channel the Ganas and other stuff now. It's the second one from the right. Okay, so we're studying Brihad Bhagavatam. Which is a wonderful story that is narrated by shut off that last one. Yeah. Okay. Which is a wonderful story that is narrated by Jaimini Rishi, who the son of Maharaj Prakrit, Jananejaya. And Jananejaya, he heard the Mahabharata that we heard. And then he heard another version. The second time he heard the Mahabharata, he heard it from Jaimini Rishi. Now, Mahabharata means the history of the world. Of course, that has to do with Krishna, but according to your realization, you can present Krishna. Krishna is tattva, it's the absolute reality. But the absolute reality, being personal, manifests itself according to a person's relationship. So according to the, and the world is actually also the history of the Supreme Personality of God, because this world is about God. This whole world manifests to give us God. So according to the audience, one can make different presentations of the same thing. It's just like if you have a Bhagavatam class. You can have a particular verse, and you can have five levels of devotees present that verse. You'll get that verse, but you'll get more and more depth and meaning in that verse, more and more intimate revelation of that verse, according to the spiritual advancement of the speaker. And a very highly advanced speaker, according to his audience, he will reveal different levels of meaning in that verse. So the second version of the Mahabharata was a higher revelatory presentation. And Jananejaya, being the son of Maharaj Prakrit, and he himself was a great devotee, begged Jaimini Rishi to tell him something more. Because, what is it? Haribamsa, yes. On the Mahabharata, there's a kila, or a kila means? Generally means complete. What? Kila. A-H-I-L-A. Oh, kila. What does that mean? A kila. I think it means, it's a commentary. Hare Krishna.
But I think I waited too long.
How do you go?
It's okay, I'll just call again.
Hare Krishna. So it's a commentary. So on the original Mahabharata, the one we read, the commentary or the essence of it, the summary of it, somehow is called Harivamsa. So he asked, you know, which gives the real essence of meaning. So Janamejaya asks Jaimini Rishi. Now Jaimini Rishi, when the Vedas are divided into four, the Samaveda, which is the beautiful devotional hymns, which actually brings one and presents devotional service, that was entrusted by Vyasadeva to Jaimini Rishi. So he's also considered a great devotee. The Jaimini Rishi, he asked Jaimini Rishi, this is so wonderful, this presentation of the Mahabharata, which presents more, because Krishna's mentioned in the Mahabharata that we read, but his intimate side is not presented so much. He's mentioned there, but his prominence, his inner depth, his heart, his essence is not presented. But in the second Mahabharata, he said, so you please, you give me the kila, you give me the essence of it like that. So Jaimini Rishi begins to narrate this incredible, wonderful story. And in the wonderful story, Maharaj Parikit has just finished the Bhagavatam, and he's in his last hour of life. And his mother comes, and she has so much, although she has so much love for her son, she's more attracted to Krishna. So she comes and she asks Maharaj Parikit to share with me what you have. And then Maharaj Parikit, in the last hour or two of his life, he presents the essence of the whole Bhagavatam. And that's called the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, which is basically the story of two devotees. There's two parts of it, who achieve perfection progressively. So you get a whole study of almost comparative religion from the sense of devotion. Different stages, different, and that's what the Bhagavatam is. If you analyze the Bhagavatam, if you see the stories, they're progressive. You have Prahlad Maharaj in the seventh canto, and Ramachandra in the ninth canto, and Krishna. So it's also a progression of the revelation of God. So this is the essence of it. Now, before we go, this is Sanatana Goswami, and you know, before he presents this, and there's something in one of the commentaries presented, actually it's by Gopi Panagana Kapoor. He's presenting that, you know, Sanatana Goswami is Trikala Gyan. He's like, you know, when you're a Mahabhagavat on the level of Prema Bhakti, you enter into the world of eternity. And you have access to all. You have access to all moments of time, past, present, and future. So it's Sanatana Goswami's revelation, and you also have to see it's his heart, because why? He's the follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he wants to assist him in giving the highest truth of spontaneous devotional service up to the last extreme of transcendence, the love of the gopis. He wants to give this. And you can imagine him sitting here. The other day we went to Kher Kadamba. He sat at the place where Rupa Goswami wrote the Lalita Manava, Bhakti Asamiti Sindhu. And right here in Govardhan is Chakrasral Mahadev by Manasi Ganga, where Sanatana Goswami wrote. You can imagine the depth of desire in the heart that I want to follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and deliver the topmost, last, extreme realization of transcendence to the world. What realization that must take! What depth of understanding that must take to explain the highest subject to the common people, what to speak already way into Kali Yuga. That was Prabhupada's glory, his realization. To explain the high, and I always explain that realization means a depth of understanding of the truth, not just a theoretical understanding, a perception of the truth, a depth of perception of the truth that enables you to alter its form according to the frame of reference of the audience. And when you're altering the form of something, it's so easy to lose its essence. And if you don't have its essence, you will lose that essence when you alter the form. What to speak of the subject matter he's trying to describe. And therefore, when you have that duty or service, even ourselves, when we're explaining about Krishna, despite our, I could say myself, my fallen birth, my sinful nature, you need kripa or mercy to do it. It's not possible to ascend to that level. It's like trying to find, I don't know, a needle in a haystack. trying to ascend to that level. So just the task itself humbles one. And in that humble mood, the prayers that emanate from your heart to get the mercy of that higher realm in the form of the spiritual master, in the form of the Vaishnavas, in the form of the holy Dham, the form of the Supreme Lord. Just the prayers to humble one further create that conduit for the mercy of realization to come. And that's the Vaishnava. Then it creates in the heart the mood of Ashabandha. And Ashabandha is one of the symptoms of Bhava Bhakti. It means that one's devotion cannot be bound, not his hopes. And it's a very, very wonderful feeling because Prabhupada is so brilliant. He translated hope against hope. What's the no hope? There's no hope. No hope. Look what I have to explain. Hope, Krishna's mercy. And it's causing pain. And that's the mood of explaining the higher subject matters. Utter humility, no hope, seeking mercy, hope. Hope. Because I'm approaching the abode of mercy. And mercy means to give something that's undeserved. And I am certainly unqualified and undeserving to receive this mercy. So he begins with these prayers. And he begins the first prayer, of course, will glorify me, that Krishna is so sweet and he's magnanimous, sweet, with the fragrance of youth. It's an ocean of sweetness that he's come. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his Pandit can explain it. And he wants to give the highest, this prema bhakti, the most intimate revelation of God in this form of Krishna, which extends to Kishore Krishna in terms of the love of the gopis. Very wonderful subject. And he realizes that it cannot be described by one's own power. And therefore, he's seeking the mercy of a devotee. So the second verse is glorifying the best devotee, Srimati Radharani. And then the third verse, so how to describe? He's praying, he's trying to please the devotees to get their mercy in his prayers. And especially the last verse we discussed is approaching Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give this. The Mo Mahabhadanyaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishna Prema Pradayate. He came to give this. And not only did he come to give it, but he has the unique ability to give it, because he's the Supreme Lord in the role of the devotee who is experiencing that topmost level of devotion. And therefore, in the purport, Gopi Pranadana writes from the Siddharshini commentary of Sanatana Goswami that Lord Chaitanya experiences what Krishna was unable to describe about the love of the gopis of Vrindavan, and furthermore reveals this experience to his followers. This made Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the supreme appearance of God. He's the supreme appearance of God. I always said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, dancing philosophy, cha-cha philosophy, 1-2-1, 1-2-1, 1-2-1. God is one, ugly young man, consciousness of which nothing is outside of. God is two. He expands into his energies to exchange love. God is one. The object of love, Shaktiman, the possessor of energy, has to become his own. To fully experience that love from the standpoint of the subject of love or the lover of God. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the supreme appearance of God. He's the complete appearance of God. And because he's God in the role of his devotee, he experiences and he can describe that position that we all aspire for. So we'll continue with the prayers. So now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Mathura, and we'll describe that. I should just mention one other thing, that this particular section of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and that story the essence of the Bhagavatam that Narada explains to his mother, Gudra, it begins with Narada Muni at the Kumbh Mela. You know the Kumbh Mela, every 12 years, the Triveni, the Ganga, the Jamuna, and the Saraswati cross at this place. And on the bank of that river, each year, each 12 years, they build a city. It's an amazing phenomenon. Perfectly functional city with 20, 30 million people all worshiping God. One of my happiest moments is at 3:30 in the morning taking bath in the Triveni in the middle of the winter during the Kumbh Mela in 1988. He sees a devotee who comes, and that devotee, he's just a devotee. You know, everyone's, there's Vaishnavas, and they're all kirtan, and they're glorifying everyone. He's in the Vaishnavas, so Vaishnavas are so ecstatic, they're saying to each other, "You're the best devotee. No, you're the best devotee. You're the best devotee." It's Vaishnav culture. Everyone is so non-narcissistic. They're so loving, everyone. And everyone is thinking of others' needs and of others' qualities. You're the best. You're the best. You're the best. You're the best. And in the midst of this, this Brahmin comes with his followers, right? I just got it. And he makes a little mud altar and this Shalagram Shila, and he begins this incredible worship. I don't want to describe the whole story, but anyway, at the end of the worship, he not only feeds everyone, even the chandalus and the dogs and everything, but at the end of the worship, after they sing his bhavas and his devotion and his songs, see, he's right there with his deity, and all of a sudden they hear him singing, "Radha Krishna Pranamora Yuga Laki Shora." He's so much devotion. And then at the end, he humbly bows his head and said, "I offer the result of all my worship Krishnamurti to everyone else. I have nothing that I want from this. It's pure bhakti. This one story, I was with Satchinandana Swami about 10 years ago, and we were at Radhakund. Before we went to Radhakund, we heard that if you bathe in Radhakund, you can give the benefit to another. But we all went in Radhakund. I think it's my Satchinandana Maharaj, Word Chantapur, and myself. We all decided we bathe in Radhakund, but we'd offer the benediction to someone else. So I turned to Satchinandana and I said, who do you offer the benediction to? He said, Germany. He just gave it to him. Wanted to give it to everyone. So nice. Anyway, Narada comes to that devotee and says, you're the greatest devotee. And he said, no, I'm not. He points to another devotee that's higher. And it goes on and on like this with the progression until you get to the last extreme of transcendence. And therefore you see the, it reveals to you. It reveals to you the core essence of what is bhakti. Because you see it in all different phases of revelation. So if you go through it, you can understand very deeply what is bhakti. What is the essence of bhakti? So here it says, that section is called Bhagavat Prithasar, finding the essence of the Supreme Lord's mercy. Sar means essence. But what does essence mean here? Essence means not just the quality which cannot be taken away, but essence here means like milk, and the cream is called the sar. The essence of the milk is you take out all the water and you get the cream. So this is, he's looking for the cream. He's looking for that devotion, which is so thick and only devotion. That's Braja Bhakti. That's Kevala Bhakti. So even in Vaikuntha, it's not Kevala Bhakti. Yes, it's only love, it has a flavor, but it's not Kevala Bhakti. Kevala means only bhakti, love. Because when you worship the Supreme Lord as the Almighty, there's some obligation or duty within that love because of the superiority of God's position. And therefore there's a sense of must. I must worship. But in relationship to Krishna, there's no sense of such obligation. Why? Because Krishna does not appear as God. He appears as a gwala. In India, this is not a very high position. Gwala means gowala, person who takes care of the cows. So when there's movement of service towards Krishna, there's no obligation or duty. It's only love. It's Kevala Bhakti. And it's thicker, and it's more forceful, and it gives Krishna more pleasure, and it's the essence of what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. And what we are to seek. And this is what this story is about. Showing pure devotion all the way up to that last level of above transcendence. Now, somehow or other, because you understand, I haven't spoken in a week on this, I feel compelled to review. Even myself, I have to get all the points in a week. But now, at the glory of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, here in this verse, he glorifies Mathura. And it's the best of the holy cities, and a chance to remind. And you can get great mercy in Mathura. Why? Because Krishna has great affection for the holy land of Mathura. Why? Because it's adorned with the sights of his many favorite eternal pastimes. It's the sights, it's the places. And as we describe, the places of Krishna's pastimes are actually designed to please Krishna. And they move themselves for the pleasure of Krishna. the Jamuna itself moves to the pleasure of Krishna. It's full of bhavas. The waves are the ecstasy. The Jamuna itself washes, when Krishna comes, the banks overflow, so the water of the Jamuna is being offered, it's conscious, it's offered to Krishna. So here's this Mathura, and Krishna has great affection for Mathura. The Dham is the Lord's internal potency. It's his own will and Shakti to intensely please him. And because it's the safe space that wants to intensely please him, and it's adorned with the jewels of the love of Krishna in the form of Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Vidigovardhan. What is the next line? Jamuna Jaya Jaya Mahava Keshi Gata Vamsi Vata Varasakana Jahasa Balila Koila Sinanda. All the places, the 12 forests of Bhattura Mandal, all to please. And as it pleases the Lord, it has the mercy, it has his mercy, and perfection can be obtained. Because if you please the Lord, then you have the Lord's mercy, and someone can get that mercy from you. This is the basic principle of Krishna Bhakti. In fact, Uddhava, Krishna tells Uddhava in the Uddhava Gita, the Paramahansa, the topmost secret, not by fast, not by mantras, not by, but by sadhu sangha. Why? Because the sadhu sangha, sadhu means why? One who loves Krishna and gives his heart to Krishna, and Krishna gives his heart to the sadhu. And if you want Krishna, which means Krishna's love, Krishna's heart, you have to go to one who has it. The one who has love has it. And that's why even this story here, which is seeking the essence of Krishna's mercy, who's the topmost recipient of Krishna's mercy? It's one who loves Krishna the most. Even you think to yourself, who do you give your heart to? To get Krishna's mercy means to get Krishna. To even look at yourself, who do you give yourself to? Someone who is confidant. Someone who is intimate. Someone who has pure affection and love for you. And trust and faith in you enough to completely reveal their heart to you. Think of the person that you can do that to. And you have the topmost mercy of that person. It's the topmost revelation of that person's heart. Topmost. Krishna, because that person has the greatest love and intimacy for Krishna. And therefore, if you want to advance and get Krishna, you have to approach those people humbly, not those, but also the Dham. As the Dham pleases the Lord intensely, it has his mercy and perfection can be attained, and therefore to gain favor, the author praises God. Prayer means I am giving my heart to you. I'm giving my heart to you. I'm giving my love to you. I'm giving my affection to you. Praise. Praise gains favor in a loving relationship. Not artificial praise, but prayer. Heartfelt praise. Heartfelt appreciation. Heartfelt giving of oneself. So this is Sanatana Goswami, and we're learning about bhakti. Oh, glorious Jayati. Again, this Jayati, when it says, Jayati Matara Devi Shreshta. Jayati, glorious. And I'm putting you at the topmost. I'm putting myself at this. And therefore, he glorifies to gain favor, the author praises her in this verse and says, Matara Devi. Devi means what? You're a goddess. What kind of goddess? You're a ruling goddess. And Devi means one who is perpetually effulgent. So because Mathura has the Supreme Lord Krishna, I mean even the purple, always within her borders, she's effulgent, she's untouched by fear from time and other causes of destruction. And then it says, the city of Mathura is acclaimed throughout the world for dispelling misery and dispelling liberation. And what is it? It's Mathura Devi Shrestha Purishu. It's the best Shrestha of holy cities, just like we chant, Nama Shrestha, the best thing that the Guru gives is the holy name. So Mathura Devi Shrestha Purishu, it's the best of holy places. Why? So it describes, she is the best of seven principal holy cities, Kashi, Kanchi, Avanti, Mathura, Ayodhya, Haridwa, and Dwarka, which can award liberation. So Skanda Pranda says, of all those, the best is Mathura. And certainly, she is better than all other cities throughout the universe, high and low, belonging to humans, demigods, and even incarnations. Mathura is supremely attractive, and she pleases the mind of anyone who comes in contact with her, for she fulfills all categories of desires. So this, then there's a verse about Mathura that Sanatana Goswami quotes.
Vargada kannam ya vimukkunam chamukhada satyuchar bhaktida tadantam maratvaram matraye dhudaha.
For those who have material desires, Mathura gives the three aims of human work, religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification. For those who want liberation, Mathura grants liberation. For those rare souls who want pure devotion, Mathura gives pure devotion. What intelligent person therefore will not take shelter? So if you're a Mayavadi and you want to merge in your Mathura, and you live in Mathura, you'll get that. And if you're a material, you'll get that. Anyone who worships Mathura, it'll fit for those desires. But if you come to Mathura with the desire for plain bhakti, Mathura will give that. It reciprocates. It's compassionate. The Lord's internal potency. It facilitates it. It fulfills one's desire. It's the topmost of holy places. Anyway, in the purport, there's so many other. And of course, Mathura Bhagavanyata Nipansa, the Lord is eternally present in Mathura. It's right from the beginning of the tenth canto of the Bhagavatam. See, I'm in anxiety now because I really like to, not fruit it, I think, but I want to get through the text. I really want to get through the text and cover at least a few verses. But I even haven't finished this. But those of you who have the book, please read the purport. It has so nice. But let's just go a little bit to one more verse today, and I'll feel a little bit satisfied as we got put this. How did you say? It's the next verse 5. Anyway, you get the idea and the mood. So,
Jayati, Jayati, Sundaranya Etanmarari, Yantamati Padu, Santa Vaikuntha Vasa, Ramayati Sushatata, Padayam Yatra Gopi, Varaka Madhura Neva, Varnayam Prema Rasi.
All glories to this place where we are living. Lord, Ramayati Vrindavan Forest, this word, Ekaha, means, I think it's mentioned, but it means this. It indicates that when he's writing this book, he is living here. Not theoretical, he's experiencing it. And therefore, his enthusiasm is unbounded. Because he's not just theoretically explaining something. He's right in Vrindavan. And he's feeling the reciprocation of Vrindavan. He's feeling Vrindavan satisfying the desires for his prema bhakti. So he says, Jayati, Jayati. Jayati, all glories, is repeated in this verse to express the super excellence of Vrindavan and the great joy the author feels in glorifying Vrindavan. Again, the proximate pronoun is used, etat this, to indicate that Sanatana Goswami is living in Vrindavan forest writing this book. All glories to, he prefers residing here to residing in Vaikuntha or in the hearts of the elevated saints. So he because the special beauty and loving mood of the Supreme Lord is manifest in Vrindavan. This is the core of our philosophy, and we should understand it. That this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. And therefore, he was chanting in ecstasy in the Ratha Yatra, the whole Leela of Radharani, going to Kurukshetra. And being with Krishna, but not being satisfied. Because his full beauty and loving mood cannot be presented. It can only be presented. A person's special beauty and loving mood can only be presented at home. There's too many impediments for it in the office, including the relationship of the people there. If you're the high judge and people are, you know, order in the court, you walk in with your robes and everyone stands up, everybody's surrounding, you have so many subordinates, what to speak if you're not just a judge of a courtroom, you're the supreme judge, how people are respecting you. And in that relationship of awe and reverence, can you reveal your full beauty, your intimate heart, your loving mood? But here, describing Vrindavan, he prefers residing here to residing in Vaikuntha or in the hearts of elevated saints. And these elevated saints, let's see what the words and he prefers residing here, because here is where the intimate are, the intimate atmosphere that manifests to facilitate that relationship. So, he prefers residing here. In Vrindavan, while always tending his cows, he gives pleasure to the gopis, whose love for him and the mood of the rasa dance increases by sweetly playing this flute. So, Vrindavan is the most sacred, even within Mathura Mandal of the 12 forests, more sacred. And I describe sacred space is the ability for the space to inspire intimate love. Even in a material sense, living room bedroom, office bedroom, they're all manifestations of a person's consciousness. Your living room is a manifestation of your consciousness. One time, Rabindra Sarup Prabhu, I stayed in his room, and I saw one book. It was an incredible book called Class, and it described the American class system. It was a hilarious book. And it described how this a space requires... space. What determines your class? In the book, it said, the lowest class living room is where you keep a vehicle in it, like a motorbike or a bicycle. the lowest class lawn. The lawn is a tire painted white with flower pots in it. Want to lose the class? Go bowling. Anyway, that's another story here. But in Vrindavan's most sacred, with exceptionally sweet pastime, and within Vrajabhumi, three places are special. Vrindavanam, Govardhanam, Jamuna, Kulanani cha, Ikshastir Uttamapriti, Ramama, Dhabayomita. O King Pariksit, when Ram and Krishna saw Vrindavan, Govardhan, and the banks of Jamuna, they both enjoyed great pleasure. So Vrindavan, Govardhan, and again, since they are special, Sanatana Goswami praises them in the hope of getting their mercy. So we're actually learning the bhajan, or the practice, to enter into Braj. It's prayers to Vrindavan and the residents of Vrindavan and the spiritual master who gives Vrindavan. This is the process of entering into Braj. We must praise the receptacles of Brajabhakti. In this spirit, in this mood, jayati, jayati, all glories, and the higher we put something, the more we will feel mercy when we get it, and the more we feel mercy, the more we'll feel love. So nice, Jayati, Jayati. We will continue in the next class of continue. At least I got something of this in this purport. It's some very wonderful philosophical points. I'll just read a little bit of the purport. It's described by Sanatana Goswami in the current verse. Krishna is always busy tending his cows in the Vrindavan forest. At the same time, he manages to keep the gopis, headed by Sri Radhika, immersed in complete happiness by always finding opportunities to engage with them in the rasa dance and other loving pastimes. When he plays his flute, his charming sound attracts the entire universe. His outward purpose is to call the cows, but simultaneously he awakens the gopis in anticipation of their later enjoyment with him. Certainly his main purpose in playing his flute is to increase the gopis' ecstasy. Since expanding the enjoyment of loving exchanges with the devotees and this and other relationships is the ultimate reason for his appearance on earth. Herding cows and flirting with young girls are but means to this end. So would anyone, because here, it's almost 7:30, so pretty soon I'll have to continue on a little schedule here. But would anybody like to ask a question? Hey, think about it. You can ask a question. Would anybody like to say Hare Krishna? Who is this? Who?
Nandadulao Das from Strasbourg.
Nandadulao?
Yes, Maharaj.
Oh, Hare Krishna. So nice. Please, my prayers and regards from Govardhan for your whole family.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Would anyone like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna?
Who is this?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, say Anastasia, the sister of Nityananda.
Anastasia. Right, is that your name? Anastasia.
Yeah.
I can only pronounce it. Well, thank you for calling. We haven't heard from you in a while. It must be very early in the morning there.
Now it's 4 o'clock, so it's...
okay, well, it started quite early.
yeah.
Anybody that's listening, if you hear in the And please stay on the line, because I'll let you speak to your brother for a minute. But my assistant here that lives in the house with me is, I can't pronounce the name properly, is Anastasia's brother. And he's the one that chants all the nice prayers with me. And actually in the evening from 4:30 to 7, we have constant Krishna Katha, both at the Bhaktivedanta Ashram with senior devotees, and Nityananda's singing Gaur Bhajans. And then we come back here in our place and we have our Damodar Astaka and we chant for it. But Dad, did you say hi, Krishna, your sister? Go ahead. It's okay.
Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna. Hare Bol. How are you? You are back in France, huh?
Yeah, so now I can call in quite regularly, so.
Okay, you write me email, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, Haribo.
Haribo.
Mm.
Thank you very much.
I didn't want to talk to you too long now, because I guess other people are listening. Otherwise, he would open his heart to you, because I know you are very close with your brother together. A very nice relation. Well, thank you for coming on and waking up.
Yeah, thank you very much. That's wonderful.
At 2:30 in the morning, that's one time I went to see this sadhu in Vrindavan. And that was like 20 years ago. I had to get on the back of this old, it was built in 1940 with this, it's called the Tempo. And it's crowded. I went to say, I wasn't there, and then I went to, and when I saw it, I always said, oh, because you perform so many austerities, I have to give you something. But when we actually make some sacrifice, you hear Krishna Katha, Krishna becomes very pleased and you get something. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj?
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Actually, this evening I'm saying Hare Krishna for Nayase, because she was listening until she conked out this evening also. And I'm glad she was, because yesterday, you know, she went to see Satchinanda Maharaj. So I know her ears perked up when you mentioned him, you know. Remember, he had initiated her cow for her as Shyamali. And so I was happy that you mentioned him while she was on the phone this time.
She initiated her cow?
Yes, I don't know if you remember her. She had gotten a gift of a stuffed cow, you know?
Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
Right.
I remember.
And so she saw he always asked for her, and so she saw him again last night at Second Avenue. And so I was happy that you mentioned him while she happened to have been listening today.
Well, give my regards to your daughter.
Okay.
A very nice devotee. Mm. Thank you. Very big deal. Yeah, thank you. Hare Krishna. Anyone else like to say Hare Krishna today?
Hare Krishna, okay. Maharaj. This is Bharati.
Bharati, thank you. From Editor. Thank you, Hare Krishna. I just finished using the last of the giwits you made for me. I have the other ones. Now I have to put the key in, but the ones you have, you've been using them for Damodar Astaka. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare
Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay. Then we will end now. Vanshakalpa Kurubhyascha Vipasindhu Bhayebhaja Padidanam Padanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah.